And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Savage and Maul form an alliance with the Death Watch to target a common enemy, Obi-Wan Kenobi. There will be beheadings, bounty hunters, and bad boys, oh my! And we're talking about Eminence this week. How you doing, Chris?
Good, I watched this it still had like the little Cartoon Network ads across the bottom of it, so I didn't see any beheadings this week.
Oh, yeah, I watched it on Netflix, so there was definitely some bodies
with
no heads.
I saw where the beheadings were, but I did not see the beheadings.
Oh, okay, let me fill you in. So they were all standing, and Savage throws his thing, and then it pans out to all their bodies still standing, and all their bodies don't have heads, and then they all slump over to the floor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like
I mean,
it shows
I saw
all
that
their...
You were, it conveyed that that happened.
No. In the
not,
Netflix
not with
one.
The slumping part, but they conveyed that all their heads came off, that's for sure.
No. You actually, if you watch it on Netflix, or you could probably find it even on YouTube.
Find the DVD or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, all their bodies are still standing with no heads, and there's smoke coming out of their bodies, and all the bodies slump to the floor, and the guy's just like, oh, shit. Hi, guys. I'm your friends now.
Right.
We're friends now. What can I do for you, gentlemen? How
you
can I help?
Convince me.
So did you see the new Solo trailer last night?
I did.
I thought it was better.
I have to say, remember I was the one going, it didn't get me like, I wasn't woo!
Yeah, I'm still on the fence about how I feel about this movie.
Well, I'm better about the guy playing Han Solo.
I'm still gonna like go get drinks with my friends and drink and watch Han Solo, and I'm the most excited for Lando. Everything I've seen of Lando so far, I'm fucking exciting for.
I noted in the Facebook page that this might be a Carl Urban, Dr. McCoy moment from the start. You know, the cast of the J.J. Abrams Star Trek is really good. I thought the only one that I wasn't really too big on was Spock, and he wasn't even that, and he wasn't bad. But Carl Urban went, like, above and beyond and lived the role. You know what I mean? He just became Dr. McCoy. And I keep wanting to say Danny Glover, but what's
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. It's another D. Donald Glover, his hand movements. And here's the thing. It's not it doesn't have an affected, like, I'm doing Billy Dee Williams, you know? He just it's funny. Another friend of mine was like, I didn't like the Solo thing. The acting seems stiff. And the acting actually reassured me on this one. I was like, ooh, Donald Glover looks like he's going to be great. And Han Solo feels like Han Solo to me. He feels like he looks like Han Solo. The way Carmine Infantino drew him in old Star Wars comics.
I have to say, 70s. The line that got me was the Wookiee line where it's like, you're 190?
That's a beautiful line.
Look great!
That's a beautiful line. That's the only thing that sort of got me excited about it. I'm like, I kind of would have liked a little longer before we start hitting, because there's people already going, maybe we'll see Boba Fett and Jabba the Hutt, and I'm like, I don't want to see everything associated with Han Solo in this, and I used to think that including
Chewbacca. Especially since we're getting a Boba Fett movie. I totally agree.
Right. And it's a little on the nose. We're obviously going to see the Sabacc match where he wins the Falcon from Lando, it looks like. Or at least
I think they're doing the Kessel Run, too.
And yeah, and the Kessel, you know, it's like, come on. I'd rather they just, it's a big galaxy, you know, make it bigger instead of smaller when you do stuff like that. Do stuff like you don't even know Han Solo ever existed. He's a brand new guy. We can get to Chewbacca. But I used to say that. Now that I see Chewbacca in it, automatically my brain clicked and went like, you know what? I am unashamedly just want to see Chewbacca in action. And if there's a rapport between Han and Chewie in this movie, that could be awesome. You know, awesome, mm-hmm. awesome, awesome. So I'm kind of happy to see Han and Chewie. It has a little bit of a vibe of the old Marvel comics where it's just sort of like Han and Chewie in the old frontier. One of the little drawbacks to it is, and it may not be a drawback because it might be a really good character. Pardon me. My energy drink is fizzy tonight.
Now you have to leave those in when you edit.
Oh, I always do. I only edit out like pregnant pauses or where it's like, excuse me, I gotta go pee or something like that. And sometimes I even leave those in, as you've probably noticed over the years. But in all the side movies, this is going to be the second side movie featuring a wisecracking robot sidekick, who's, you know, English speaking. And the difference with this one is it has a female voice. It's a woman.
Yeah.
Or as much a woman as a robot's going to be a woman, but it's a robot with a female voice. And that's Lando's sidekick. And she seems a lot like the robot from Rogue One. You know
K2SO.
What I mean? Yes, it seems, and it's like I hope they don't feel that every Star Wars side movie. I mean, obviously every main Star Wars movie is going to have BB-8 and R2 and 3PO in it, but that doesn't mean the side movies need to have a droid there. That right. being said, she seems like she's going to be a fun character, so. But she seems very similar to K2SO, whatever.
Look, you're right, K2SO. My thing is like I started like after seeing the trailer that dropped last night, I started thinking about to the Rogue One trailers and like let me just clarify, if you heard our Rogue One commentary, this was before I had like an obsession with Rogue One, and it became one of my favorites. But like I vividly remember like there were moments in those trailers that I got chills, and I remember them so vividly. And I can see every beat of it because I would just rewatch those moments over and over again. And I only had that happen twice for me so far, watching the Solo trailers, and they were both the first teaser trailer. I've yet to have like another moment where I was just like,
was
just
it one the Star Destroyer? It was that
coming
you?
Through the clouds.
Yes, I remember you telling me that.
That was one, and the other one was seeing. Like Donald Glover in that big ass fur coat, and there's lightning, and I just stopped and I went, "Oh my God, it's Lando!" Like yeah. I just that, yeah. And ever since that moment, I was like, "This is Lando." Like every time I've seen him in any trailer, I'm like, "This is Lando." But like that was the first moment that we saw him as Lando, and he just looked exactly how I imagined him to look—like a big freaking pimp ready to get shit done.
Yeah, and no, he looked like Lando. He looked like He looked just like a little younger than the Lando we saw in Rebels.
Yeah. And so, like, that's the only thing that has me still a little nervous is because, but at the same time, these are all trailers, too. So I'm, like, I'm not really, like, feeding too into the fact that, like, not every trailer is giving me chills, and I'm okay yeah. with extra trailers. Because I kind of have the same feeling about, like, Infinity War. Like, I'm so excited for this movie. But like I haven't really had a moment in the trailers where I'm just like jaw dropping, gasping and stuff.
Yeah, me neither.
Though I will say there's a fan video called Battle Royale that somebody did for Marvel, and to me it's a better Infinity Trailer War than Infinity Trailer, and then the Infinity War trailers. But yeah, like I'm tentatively excited for Solo, and I'm going to go see it. I already have plans to go out with my girlfriends that night. No boys allowed.
I will not be missing any Star Wars movie that comes out in the theater, no matter
yeah.
no matter what. It's just so, unless they really screw the pooch for me, and they're far away from doing that so far. So, I mean, even if they go to mediocrity, and it's sad to say, but I'll always check them out, even if it's down to just like morbid curiosity. I'm in for life. So I will be at Solo on the opening night. You know, I'm sure Scott McGregor and I will be buying tickets.
Have you seen the trailer for, what's it called? It's the new Ewan McGregor Winnie the Pooh movie. Christopher Robin.
I don't know if I saw the trailer.
Oh, it's just called Christopher Robin. It's just called Christopher Robin. Have you seen the trailer for that?
No.
So,
Is it based on the real Christopher Robin?
I just totally hit my microphone. Let me readjust. It's about Christopher Robin as an adult. And Winnie the Pooh comes back into his life, and at one point, like, he's sitting on a bench and he hears Christopher Robin, and he turns around and there's Winnie the Pooh, and he's just like, Pooh? But the thing is, it's Ewan McGregor. So there's a picture floating around where he's like,
hello there.
And the thing is, and then he goes, Kenobi! And Winnie the Pooh's like, has four arms with lightsabers. I'll have to send you that picture.
Yes, I need to see the picture of Greavy Pooh. Greavy Pooh! My little Greavy Pooh.
Christopher Robin.
But then again, I hear it in that the voice actor of the Disney Winnie the Pooh, you know, that sort of like, Kenobi! Who also but the funny thing is Winnie the Pooh's voice, also the actor who did Winnie the Pooh's voice.
Is
also,
Jim Cummings is the voice of Hondo.
Well, you mean the original Winnie the Pooh?
Jim Cummings? Oh, no, the current voice actor.
Yeah, I think the original Winnie the Pooh actor is unfortunately dead. But he played Jack the Ripper in Star Trek, the original Star Trek, he played the spirit of Jack the Ripper would take over people's bodies in space. And he played a little wimpy guy with Pooh's voice who got possessed by Jack the Ripper. And then he gets into the ship's computer. So you hear Winnie the Pooh's voice going, die, 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 everybody die.
I'll kill all.
Let's get to the transporter room quick.
Die, 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 everybody die.
I'll die horribly in searing agony. So no, when I hear Winnie the Pooh, it's all sorts of mixed up.
Yeah, it's Jim Cummings, who is the current voice actor for Winnie the Pooh, is also the voice of Hondo. Jim Cummings.
That's quite a spread of characters.
You know, I like when Hondo has that kind of like scratchy, throaty, like like in that higher range that he sometimes has.
You can sort of hear it, yeah.
You can barely hear Pooh Bear. Just barely hear Pooh Bear. Well, speaking of pirates and bounty hunters and smugglers, you ready to get started?
Yeah, we're back into grown up land.
I know. I actually made a note of that. I was like, after the kids and the robots, like, it's so good getting back with, like, gritty Star Wars. Oh, man, I'm so excited. Since 2008, I've been trying to get my best friend to watch Clone Wars, and they finally started watching it last night with her husband.
Oh, good. Well, once they get past the first season, they'll get hooked on the first season, and it's all uphill.
Her husband's already seen some of it, so they skipped the Clone Wars movie with Stinky, and they skipped the Jar Jar episode, so...
They'll go back.
No, you don't know my best friend. She won't. So I am explaining to her, I was like, well, my co-podcaster, Chris, calls it Dave Filoni giving fanboys the finger, and I'm like, but if it makes you feel any better, I hate that episode too, so it's fine. But I'm just so excited that ever since, like, 2008, I've been trying to get her to watch Clone Wars, and she's, a decade later, she's finally fucking watching it. I'm so excited!
Good, it's a gateway drug to Rebels.
I know. All right, Eminence?
Let's do it.
Eminence is the 102nd episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on January 19, 2013. It was written by Chris Collins and directed by Kyle Dunleavy. Some extra information for you. A scene in the episode was censored by Cartoon Network. The scene included the decapitation of several Black Sun leaders by the Sith brothers. Pablo Hidalgo confirmed that the unedited sequence will return to the Blu-ray and DVD release of the season. The scenes where Darth Maul member, where the Death Watch members found Maul and Savage Opress's escape pod and shone flashlights on them was based on the opening scene of the 1986 James Cameron sci-fi fiction horror movie Aliens, where the salvage crew finds Ripley. The Black Sun logo in the meeting room for the Black Sun chairman, as well as one of the leadership's outfits, was taken directly from Shadows of the Empire franchise. In addition, the design and architecture for their fortress on Mustafar was taken directly from the Virago Prince Zizor's ship from the same franchise. The Black Sun soldiers' blasters were based on a weapon used by the robot guards in the film The Black Hole. So I guess they're back to doing little webisodes again after not doing them for like 2.5 seasons. So there's another one for this episode. Yay! Dave Filoni says, Darth Maul is back. What do you do with a Sith Lord that was brought back from the dead but is now alive? Beyond his hatred for Obi-Wan Kenobi, there was this idea that he was a well-trained apprentice and that he would start to do things that he was trained to do. To build armies, to deceive people, to create a power base for himself. So George came up with this idea of him of teaming up Maul with Mandalorians. When you say that to a Star Wars fan, you just say, wow, that's a pretty potent group.
Here's all the candy in the world.
Oh,
have
we get
fun.
To that. Sam Witwer, who is the voice of Darth Maul, pops up saying, now here's the thing. Now the thing with the Mandalorians, they have this code of honor, this warrior's code that Maul understands, and he understands that he can use this. While Maul understands it, he doesn't follow the same type of code. He sees it as a terrible hindrance and thinks that these guys will never amount to much. But I can use them, and I'll be able to use them to a great effect. They're armored, they're dangerous, they're disciplined, and they're reliable. And then Dave Filoni comes back and says, bigger than having a weapon at his disposal, bigger than having a weapon at his disposal, Maul really wanted the idea of having a big, broad power base. To get this, he identifies the criminal underworld as the place of flourish. Darth Sidious and his gaze is more focused on the war at hand and countering the Jedi. Maul knows this, so he thinks he can sneak in and create his own little miniature empire underneath everything by existing in the underworld. And then Sam Witwer comes back and says, it's fun to see that there are really two types of villains that exist in Star Wars. There's the mythic villains like Palpatine, Vader, or Maul, and there's also the more grounded, dirty frontline underworld villains. And finally, Dave Filoni comes back and says, you know the Hutt clan, but you probably don't know the other crime families like the Black Suns or the Pikes. I first learned about the Black Sun from the game and multimedia story Shadow of the Empire. I thought it would be cool to bring them in because a lot of EU material, Maul was pretty active in breaking up the Black Suns for Sidious. I'm going to split this up so it's a little easier to read. There we go. There's some relevance there that he would know about the Black Sun. He would know where they were. They would have a certain amount of power that he would try to take to make his. The Pikes came from George, from this idea that he had been developing. They're kind of interesting, very alien, with their small faces and pod heads. Very abstract, sinister little guys. Finally, after them and the three groups that Maul goes after, the last are the Hutts. The Hutts, we figure, would be the most resistance because they have the most power on their own. So in a scene that had probably been only reenacted in action figures by kids at home, George requested an attack, an onslaught on Jabba's palace by Mandalorian soldiers. That's some hardcore nerderific stuff right there. I never thought when I started the show that we would be doing something that we would never see. It's all showing that Maul has this brute force, but he's also smart in building this power base. He's doing what Sidious did with the Senate. But Sidious is way more subtle than Maul is. Blah. So yes, we did dump all of our toys out from the toy box and slapped them together.
Mm. Yoda has some toys.
You also have some subtleness.
Mm. Yoda's a little out of breath from blowing up his toy.
Actually, I take that back. You're not that subtle, Yoda. You're pretty go-getting.
Yoda is subtle as a crate dragon.
Crate spit. I call crate spit on that. I've been listening to the audiobook, and there's definitely a scene where, like, Eli, who is Thrawn's aide, teaches him the swear word crate spit, and Thrawn's like, Kreitzvit? What the fuck is that? And he's like, it's like saying bullshit, but nicer. Don't say it, it's mean. And Thrawn's like, Kreitzvit, I'll have to remember that.
That's just the kind of anthropological data that Thrawn wants. It is.
Alright, Yoda, what's the platitude this week?
This platitude has queen reference in it.
It
One
does?
Vision can have many interpretations in bed.
What's the queen reference?
You've never heard the song One Vision by Queen?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Oh, please.
Sorry. I know. Freddie Mercury's disappointed in me. It took me a second.
From the soundtrack to the movie, I believe it was Iron Eagle.
I will be the very first person to say I'm the worst person at remembering song titles. The absolute worst person in the world to remember song titles. Like, I will totally know, and bands at that. Like, I'll be like, man, I love this song. And my boss will be like, who sings it? And I'm like, don't do this to me, Brad. Don't. And he's like, you know. And I'm like, I don't. He's like, Journey. I was like, oh, yeah, it is Journey.
Well, it is also a song that is from my time period, so. From my era. From the long agos.
Is there a song about beheadings?
Songs about beheading people?
Yeah.
There are songs about beheading people, and you know, it's funny you say that, but there was, do you remember, of course you remember, of I think it, last season when the king was about to, was it last season or was it this season when they were going to behead the king?
It was this season.
Right. I was looking for beheading songs for the opening intro to that episode, and I just didn't. I was hoping to find like a good, like from Alice in Wonderland with the Queen singing it off with his head song or something like that, but the only ones I could all find were all in French, and they were all they were all songs of the French Revolution about the guillotine.
I was hoping we could find like some like chippy happy song like we're beheading the people today. We're beheading the people today. La la la.
Right, or there's the dandelion song, right? You know the dandelion song. I don't know if that was ever recorded, but it was something that little kids all sing. Do you have dandelions down there in Georgia?
Yeah, but what's the dandelion song?
Well, you would pick a dandelion and hold the stem in your hand with your thumb underneath the head of it, and you would sing, "Mama had a baby, but its head popped off," and you'd just pop the head off a dandelion, then you'd pick then you'd pick another dandelion. And go, she had another baby, and its head popped off.
That should be the opening. Just record yourself singing that, and then just put it at the beginning. Mama had a baby, and its head popped off.
I'll scour YouTube. There's gotta be, right? There's gotta be someone with their little kids singing that while popping the heads off dandelions. I'll see if I can find it.
We'll
know by now if I found it, at least listener-wise, because that was about 15 minutes
ago. Careful, you might need to have permission to put someone's kid singing on our podcast. Here. Mama had a baby and its head popped off.
It wouldn't be the first time Jason, Jack, and Eddie gave me a recording of his little daughter doing the Freddy rhyme from all the Freddy's coming for you.
That's different if it was given to you. It's different from like if it's given to you versus
then I just
like
steal somebody's kid's song.
Yeah.
Yoda will go find a song.
That's what you should do. You should sing it in Yoda's voice and just record it and put it at the beginning. Sing it, Yoda. Take it away.
No.
Come on.
I'm trying to figure out, and now it's scrambling my brain, because I'd like to sing it in Yoda talk. Oh,
a baby head, mama.
A baby head, mama had.
A baby mama.
Oh, shit.
A baby mama had, but its head popped off.
Head popped off, it did.
Head popped off? A baby mama had, but head popped off, it did.
It takes a little while. Pretty soon they'll come up with some AI that just, like, will change anything into Yoda talk.
Oh, my God. That was great. That was wonderful, Yoda. Thank you. All right. Act one.
Act one.
So here we go. Act one. Last time we left the Super Mall Bros, Mollyo and Savaji. I remember that from the last time we had them.
I forgot about it, but yes, thanks for reminding me. That was awesome.
You're welcome. They got their asses kicked by BFFs for life, Obi-Wan and Hondo. Maul got his leg shot off and Savage lost an arm. Their ship crashed, but they got out in an escape pod. On to this week.
Molly had a leg, but it got shot off.
Oh my god, this is so much fun. Alright, so, the Super Maul...
Mother Talton had a baby, but his leg got shot off.
Oh my god, thank you for teaching me the song. Oh, the Super Mall.
Finally, you learn it in your 30s. You're supposed to learn that when you're like 6.
Why don't we never... Anyway.
What was wrong with your schoolyard, man? You guys should have been singing horrible songs about babies' heads flying off their bodies.
You know, we learned Ring Around the Rosie, and then we found out it was about the plague. So...
That's still not as gruesome as decapitated babies, but, you know, we tell dead baby jokes, too.
Oh, I can't do dead baby jokes. That's a limit of mine.
I hope I was doing dead baby jokes when I was in kindergarten.
Nope. That has always been a limit of mine. I've never been able to do dead baby jokes.
I remember hearing a dead, and I won't even mention what the dead baby joke was, but when I heard that in, like, it had to be, like, first grade, second grade, I remember sitting there going, "That is brilliant." It blew my mind. I was like, "That is the sickest thing I've ever heard. That's brilliant. Tell me another one about boogers next."
All right, act one. Mollyo and Savaji got in a fight and their legs fell off. The Super Mall Bros aren't looking too good. They're half frozen and drifting through space when a ship comes out of nowhere and finds them. Someone cuts through the door, and holy shit, it's some Mandos. One of them has a darksaber, so you know it has to be Happy Hogan, a.k.a. Pre Vizsla. I totally have a Happy Hogan on the brain, because I literally finished watching Spider-Man Homecoming today for the first time, and I was like, yes, Happy Hogan everywhere. So I had, like, my double dose of, like, John Favreau today. Double dose of it. They find Maul's lightsaber, but these are no Jedi he's seen. He wants to hear them out because anyone who fights Jedi is a friend of Death Watch. They load them on they load the brothers and cart them out. And they take the bros back to their base on the planet Zanbar. They have a Zanbar on a sandbar, and it's a lovely beach. Maul wakes up and finds a droid giving him new legs. Pre Vizsla and Bo-Katan, who made her first appearance last season, come into the tent. And Vizsla's like, "So, you're not the J word. You know, Jedi?" And Maul has a reverse Pee-wee Herman word of the day reaction, growling him down. Bo-Katan threatens to shoot Savage, so Maul plays along, explaining that they're Sith. And Vizsla is like, "I thought there could only be two Sith. And with Dooku, that's a lot of Sith cooks in the kitchen." And Maul says that they're the real lords of the Sith, and their ship was destroyed by the Jedi. And Maul says, "The K word, you know, Kenobi." Wah! Okay, sorry. And Vizsla sees that he has a brand new friend that can hate Obi-Wan with him, and he gives the order to repair the brothers. Maul gets his new legs and joins Vizsla for tea time and little crimpets, because all evil bad guys must have tea time. Vizsla goes off about how great Death Watch is, and that they're the true Mandalorians, and they were great warriors, and New Mandalore sucks, and violence is awesome. And Maul is just totally watching them forming a plan in his head. And Vizsla says that they have a common enemy in Kenobi, and Maul is totally on board with bringing death and destruction to Kenobi. Maul and Vizsla want to be new BFFs, but Bo-Katan is like, boss, remember when Count Dooku betrayed us? Yeah, that didn't go over too well. And one good force choke from Maul and an angry speech later, Vizsla says that he'll put it to a vote. Mollyo returns to Savaji, who is waking up, and Savaji freaks out and beats some droids up until Maul stops him. Catching Savaji up to speed, the bros totally make a plan to take advantage of Death Watch for their own game. Vizsla and Bo-Katan come back to the tent, and they agree that Death Watch will join them, and now all the big baddies will team up against Duchess Satine. I'm trying to remember when Dooku betrayed them. What episode? Oh, I think it was their first appearance with Pre Vizsla, and he was still pretending to be the Moon Senate guy. Yeah, now that I'm actually thinking about it, I do remember that, because I was like, really, Dooku? And I was like, oh, yeah, like, Pre Vizsla's first appearance, I think Dooku was there. Hey, what'd you think of Act 1?
I like it. I think there's a nice little story of the friend of my enemy is my friend story, and the consequences of that never works out. And,
yep.
And you know, and you've got... Automatically, we know that Savage and Maul are not, they're working for themselves. But I noticed after the choking speech scene that they weren't too upset about the choke. That sort of went, the Mandalorians were sort of like, okay, we kind of expected that. There was a little look between the two of them, or just like, yeah, okay. So the Mandalorians, I think, are not going into this, you know, as bumpkins. They are also, you know, thinking we'll use these two, and just, you know, both sides are just using each other for their own advantage, and probably will have no qualms about disposing of the other side once they get their whatever their goal is. So it's just a matter of who gets to their goal first before they're gonna be at odds with each other. But so I like that. That was a lot of that was sort of communicated visually and just sort of sub rosa underneath it. So I like that. We got to see the Darksaber.
Yeah.
So I got a little excited about that, because it's like, ooh, any time when it starts to like link up with Rebels and stuff, it's just like, oh yay. Even though this is way before Rebels, but still, it's just cool.
All that Darksaber, it's eventually going to get to Satine. Yay!
Another thing I noticed is there's just some great sound design in this. It's very Ben Burtt sounding. There's a lot of just detail and interestingness to the sound. And they also, everybody else is sort of, you know, got that sort of Clone Wars, but they've put a little extra verve into Darth Maul, a little extra swagger into him, and his model looks a little bit more especially compared to Savage, but he looks a little more slim and streamlined now than
I think it helps that he doesn't have the, like, because before the legs that Mother Talzin gave him was very clawed, like they were claws,
right,
at the bottom.
They were big and bulky,
and they actually, I didn't put in the extra information notes, but they actually noted on the Star Wars trivia for the episode that in this episode, he's actually shorter than he was before because he doesn't have the claws. And that's like, he's actually much shorter than he was
right.
in the last
well, they,
time I saw him.
They sort of illustrate that when he's standing
when he's
next
used to
Savage, and it's just like, oh, geez.
And I actually also like it has that moment when he's first walking. He's very stiff, like he's trying to get used to these new legs. That was a nice, like, very small detail.
But once he got used to him, he's starting to get a little swagger and style to his move. So he's working up his charisma a little bit because he's got a plan, and he's starting to, you know, it's fun to watch, and you could just tell they put a little extra care into his character movement in this one, and it worked
out
really
well. And in his voice too, like he has a few like almost one-liners, like almost, but like if it just went on, like if you said like two more words, it would be really funny,
right.
But it just gets, and but it's, there's like some sarcasm in it. Like I think it was when Act 3 when he was about to kill the Hutt, and he was just like, you mean you tell us that Jabba's at Jawa's palace? We know that.
Yeah, that's the information that we have to beat out of you. Yeah. But yeah, he's becoming more of a character now by necessity, since they're and his arc isn't just pure like animalistic
Kenobi.
Revenge, brother.
Kenobi.
You know, and he's not crazy anymore. He's not disjointed in his thought patterns. He's focused, and he's also cut all ties to, you know, Palpatine and to Dooku. Well, I don't think he even knew of Palpatine. But to Dooku and the you know, the war and that sort
of
thing.
He had to know. Wait, no, he had to know about Palpatine because he worked for Sidious in episode one.
Oh, no, there's
one.
A scene. Yeah, you're right. There's a scene with him
and
with Sidious
he never
in
worked
episode
with Dooku.
One. Yeah.
He never worked with Dooku.
That's right. You're right.
Savage worked with Dooku, so he probably knows of Dooku through Savage,
right.
But Maul never worked with
That's
Dooku.
That's what I'm getting mixed up in my head. Savage story in Clone Wars with his. But he's apart from that now. He's not fighting in that war. He's working on his own. So they're fleshing out his character, which I like in this. It was very visually and story satisfying wise. I was very happy to be back in a story, you know, a story that's actually like integrated into the main storyline. As much of a fan of side things as I am in sort of self-contained things. Yeah, it's good to be back in grown-up land. That's all I got for part one.
So first and foremost, I want to say I said Satine instead of Sabine. Sabine gets the darksaber. I realized it right after I said it, and I didn't want to interrupt you. Sabine gets the lightsaber. Satine never does.
Right.
Their names need to be stopped being so similar. So very first and foremost, what I want to point out is the last episode that we had Maul, Obi-Wan warned the Jedi Council in the first episode of the season. He looks at Yoda and he looks at what Blanket Windu and says, "Hey guys, Maul's going to flourish in the underworld if we don't do anything. And look what fucking happened."
Yeah, and why wouldn't they should have listened to him because he's got the most experience with Maul. So, yeah.
That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, Obi-Wan was right.
But
look
why
what
listen
happened.
To the guy who's the only one who had any contact with Darth Maul? Why would we want to listen to him?
And that just, I think a lot of it goes back to, like, you know, that very first episode we pointed out that it was weird that Yoda listened to Palpatine because Palpatine was like, who cares about Maul? He's fine. He's not going to do anything. And Yoda was like, yeah, I know. He'll be okay, Obi-Wan. You're really putting way too many emotions and feelings into this. And Obi-Wan's like, I have a good reason to do this. And I think it just goes back to how, like, out of touch the Jedi Council is now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
My next point, when they first land on Zanbar, I just really like the look of it because you have the three moons and one moon's fucking huge. And it's like really, it takes up half the sky. And you have the two little moons behind it. I really like the look. They must have crazy ocean tides.
I know it would have been neat if they did like, whenever you see water, there's one big wave with two little waves on either side of it would have been a neat little going overboard with production design. But yeah, that's why I made my note of like, that was where I made my great sound design note. Even though that was a beautiful scene, the sound of the ships flying down sort of around some mountains into a little valley. And there was like an echo of their engines, and they had that sort of outer part that would rotate.
Mm-hmm.
And as it would rotate, the engines would sound different. It was just a lot of attention to detail audio. And with the visual beauty of that, it becomes very Star Wars.
And I like on the detail note too, like when they were just walking around camp, I just like some of the background characters, like this, it's when coming into camp, there's a woman and a man sparring and she kicks his ass. And I was like, yeah, Mando girl, go. But like, it's just like, even just something as simple, like all the background characters are all doing different things. There's like a little monkey creature that's been running around the camp. There's just like a bunch of like little things that makes it very visual. Unlike early Clone Wars, where it was just like blocked people walking through a valley or something. So now, like, each and every one of the background characters are all doing something different. So it makes the world lived in. So my mama always says it's better to be lucky than good any day. Ma was super lucky that Death Watch of all people found them.
Yes.
But, is this, I want to pose the question, is this the Force working? Because Maul mentioned that. He was like, it's the will of the Force. And, like, we always talk about how, like, the cosmic force is in charge of everything. And we've talked about how already there's kind of like this off balance of the Force with the Jedi. The Jedi can't sense the Force like they used to. There's so many Jedi around that it's throwing off the balance of the Force. So is this, do you think, the Force's way to try and put Maul into power to help balance the Force out?
Maybe, yeah. I think maybe everything might be the Force trying to balance itself out in different ways, but maybe not, like, overtly. It might just be as part of the adjustment of the dark side and the light side right now that, you know, between the motivations of Maul and the Mandalorians in this case, they have very similar motive. You know, they have their motivations are on the darker end of the scale. So maybe that instead of the Force being like, you know, the Force being like Palpatine, where it's like, oh, if I team these people up with this, and they'll do this and this, it might just be a simple function of dark energy attracting to each other. So
yeah.
So they're more likely, you know, the Mandalorians are more likely to be drawn towards the Sith because dark draws towards dark. So it's just sort of the dark side of the Force having a little more sway over things. But it might not be explicitly to any goal as much, but in drawing them together, it does work towards that. So yeah. I mean, space is huge, so it's quite a coincidence that the Mandalorians, the Death Watch, found them. You know,
yeah, they have like, and we saw in the last episode with these two, like they just kind of jettison off of Hondo's planet. I'm pretty sure Florum is a very long way from Mandalore, if
and,
I remember
and
my
it's not like they were searching for them, you know? They're not like, ah, here they are. This looks like, you know, this
these are the guys
them.
We've been looking for.
Right,
yeah.
Right, correct.
I made this note in Act 1, and then I watched Act 2 and Act 3, and I'm going to go back to it. My original was maybe force choking a Death Watch lady isn't a good idea, Maul. And now that I've seen the episode as a whole, looking back, like, Bo-Katan is very anti-Maul, and so maybe force-choking her wasn't the best idea, because she is clearly not okay with this guy.
No, but at the same time, like I was saying, their look afterwards was, maybe that wasn't unexpected, and I was thinking that might have been, they might have pushed him to get him to do something like that, because most people after a force-choke are just like, oh God!
Holy shit!
Oh, sweet Jesus! And they're like holding their neck and like, and she's more just like, okay. She wasn't not happy about it, but at the same time,
she's just like,
she was
like,
sort of
really?
Like, that's part of negotiations. We pretty much expected something, you know, there would be some sort of show of force here.
That was rude. Thanks.
Yeah. She's just like, you know, she's not like, oh, sweet Jesus. She's just like, yeah, just file that away for another day.
I'm just going to shoot you later. It'll be fine.
Yep, exactly.
And this last night was very minor, but I think it's nice to show the shift in their relationship. Because so far with Savage and Maul, they've been calling each other brothers. Like this is my brother, brother this, brother that. Very Hulk Hogan, brother.
Brother.
Still can't find who said that in our Facebook comments, but I totally agree. One of our listeners was just like, they're like Hulk Hogan. And I wish I knew who you were, because I've made so many references to you, and I wish I knew who you were. Anyway. But so they've been very brotherly until the very first episode of the season, when Maul's like, you know what, Savage, you're my apprentice now.
Well, it's a family thing, because you notice when Maul talks about Savage to other people, he's his brother.
Yeah.
But when he talks to Savage, like he's his apprentice. So that's the thing, is Savage is his whipping boy. But when it comes to outsiders, they're family, and Maul and Savage are going to be a team over anybody else.
Yeah, but I just
their relationship.
I thought it was Chris. Let me finish my sentence. Shut the fuck up, Chris. I love you.
Oh, it's only your notes, Hope. I don't, you know, why you're getting so upset.
No, I just wanted to finish my sentence. I just think it's a very interesting shift in character, though. Because after spending so long in them seeing that way, like Maul is definitely doubling down into beating down Savage now. And it all started the very first episode of the season when he made that choice of like, you're my apprentice now. And there's they're still having that power shift between them. Because like Maul's clearly the leader now. And I just think that the fact that they're still pushing this shift is just going to continue pushing it throughout the rest of the storyline.
Yeah.
They're Sith.
They got to have that pecking order, you know? That's part of it.
Yeah.
But they're still brothers on some level. It's
yeah.
Just not as much to each other unless the...
It almost feels like the brother thing's almost like a ploy, though, because, like, now, because he only said it to Death Watch, like, oh, this is my brother, Savage. So, like, in a way of, like, if we introduce ourselves as brothers, even though we're brothers, you're going to understand our relationship when they actually totally have this completely different relationship now. It's almost like a fake front.
Well, it's like the family that fights like crazy, and then the neighbors call the cops, and the cops show up, and they're just like, "Hey, you mind your own business," you know. You know what I mean? Dad's got the little kid by the neck and his fist back, and then they both turn to the cops and go like, "Hey, what's your problem?" You know?
Yeah. But that's all I had for Act One.
Ready for Act Two?
Some beheadings.
This is where the the fun begins.
Huh. I kept like thinking, there's a line in BBC Sherlock. It was the wedding episode where Sherlock shows this like young child like some beheadings, and he's just like, "Cool, beheadings." And John's wedding, like the little boy's with his mom. And he is just like, "Do you have pictures of beheadings?" And the mom's like, "What?" And he's like, "Beheadings, lovely little town." It's a lovely place. I actually have from 221 BCon last year, I have a little ribbon that you can stick on your badge, and it says, "Beheadings, a lovely place." And it's done like a little like sign, like a street sign, like, "Welcome to Beheadings, a lovely place."
A lovely place to raise your kids up.
I'm so excited. I'm going to 221 BCon this week. I'm so excited. Even though by the time this episode comes out, it's going to be like 3 weeks ago, but still.
You'll be already done with it, yeah.
Super excited. One of my favorite artists named Interjax is going to be there. And that's where I got my... I have two pictures by her. One is girls, and it's Leia, Padme, and Rey. And the other one is the guys, and it's Anakin, Luke, and Kylo. And she's going to be there this year, so I'm hoping I can get some more, like, awesome Star Wars art from her. So I'm super excited about seeing Jackie. Online, her name is Interjax, but her real name is Jackie, and she's so good. I love her artwork. She does a lot of Star Wars art, so I'm super excited. Act Two?
Act Two. Off with their heads.
I make some jokes here.
You think?
One of these I will totally say I flat out stole from Tom King's run from Batman, because Joker says this, and I laughed too fucking hard at it. So anyway, Act Two. Ma and Vizsla take a walk. Ma can tell the Death Watch's soldiers are well trained, but they need an actual army to take Mandalore. He suggests the Black Suns, but Vizsla says that they're a crime syndicate and a bunch of dumb faces. And Ma's like, "New bro-friend, hear me out. They got stuff like money and weapons, and they're already so bad that the Republic won't notice right away if we're friends with them. It's like perfect, bro." And Vizsla's like, "Bro, no, as in N-O. And Maul is like, "Bros, no, like K-N-O-W. I had to spell it out because you guys can't see my notes. And bros, no, when to follow me. And Vizsla goes along with a plan. The Super Maul Bros and Death Watch go to Mustafar to visit the Black Suns. They're met by Zitan Maj, who just laughs at the dumb guys who just came to hang out at his palace. And they get an audience with the leaders of the crime group in Arlen's side. The Black Suns leaders aren't too happy to see them, and automatically says to kill Maul, Savage, and Vizsla. And Savage is like, "Welp, time for Plan B," and throws his lightsabers and cuts off their heads. And Maul looks at Zitan, and Zitan rubs his neck like, "So, how can I help you, gentlemen? Let's hang out. It'll be great." Now in control of the Black Sun's army and men, Pre Vizsla is getting a little antsy, and he's ready to fight Satine now and take her out now. And Maul's like, "That's cute, but no. The army is weak and they need more help." And Vizsla's like, "Yeah, I want to attack with my plan." And Maul's like, "Again, that's adorable, but your plan sucks. You will follow me. Do you want to hear a joke?" And Vizsla's like, "Sure." And Maul says, "What makes the sound ha ha thud? A guy laughing his head off. that'll be you if you don't want to get ahead in life. That's funny in two episodes, I promise.
Oh, there it is.
That's funny in two episodes, I promise. Or maybe three episodes. That's funny in this arc, I promise. Well, Vizsla and Maul are starting to clash already. And Maul will take his newfound army somewhere else if Vizsla doesn't like it. And Vizsla has no choice but to go along with it. Back on Death Watch base, some ships fly in. And it's the Pikes. Spice, which is drug dealers, pretty much. Spice is drugs in space. Drug dealers who are connected to all the crime families. And Bo-Katan is so not okay with this plan. But Vizsla is happy to go along with Maul on this one. The head of the Pikes, named Lom Pike, greets them and says that the Underworld is a small community. He's heard that Maul's been building an army, and that they don't want to get in on the beheading bad side. So they join Maul's little syndicate. Previsla gives the word, and they're all aiming for the hut's necks. And I'm just going to make a note here just to state it. They don't say it in the episode, but the name of Maul's army is called the Shadow Collective. And I'm only noting it now here because that's how I'm going to refer to them in Act 3.
It sounds like a bunch of evil hippies is what it sounds like.
The Shadow Collective,
dude,
man.
Dude, we're a bunch of emo rebels.
We got our spice now. I'm going to go behead people in the Shadow Collective.
Well, I mean, help yourself to some spice on the table. I mean, the spice is for everybody. But we want to ask that you go out and pick some grass before because the grass is getting high.
And, like, the time, we have so much time, and I don't mean, like, clocks, like, time.
And, I mean, what really is time, anyway?
What is time, man? Is it, like, rosemary? Or is it, like, seconds?
You know, that just reminded me of when I was falling asleep last night. This is how big of a nerd I am. All right. How do they tell time? How do you measure? You know what made me think of this? When they go, when Chewie said, and he's like, you're 190 years old. You look really good. What if a year is only 2 days long? And Chewie, how do they tell? How do you have a standard time that means anything to anybody?
I know this. I know the answer to this because I was looking it up for my Thrawn fiction. I do know the answer to this. All time is based off Coruscant time.
Okay.
A Coruscant year is 365 days. I think it's like 30 month days per month. And so everybody, galactic time is based off Coruscant time. And so while every planet has their own, like, you know, rotations and revolutions around their own suns and stuff like that, all time is based off Coruscant time.
Okay. Because they needed to have something like that. Because I'm like, even like everybody, even when it comes down to what a second is, that second is based on the length of the year of your planet, basically, you know. All the variations of time and measurements are based on your solar, usually I would imagine your trip around the sun in your system. So it's like everybody's sense of time is based off a different thing. So
I assume like every planet has their own like way of telling time on the planet. But when it comes to like galactic relationships and like everything's based off Coruscant time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's like a global, like we have a global time too that is out there. I don't know how many people use it, but I know on the internet I've seen it.
Except for that one state that does not do daylight savings time. What is that state?
I don't know. Texas, state? I would have that... to guess if I'm going to guess any state.
No, it's not Texas. It's Arizona. Okay, that's what I thought. And Hawaii. Hawaii doesn't do it either. Well, fine, be like that, guys. Oh, in Puerto Rico and American Samoas and the U.S. Virgin Islands and the Marina.
Okay, so a bunch of them.
So, but Arizona and Hawaii do not do daylight savings time.
Hawaii's not continental, so I could see that. I could also see Alaska not doing it because Alaska's more than one time zone, for Christ's sakes. I believe, anyway. So, yeah.
Let's Google it. How many time zones, Alaska?
I've got to guess it's at least two.
Alaska's four time zones have become two. More than 98% of the state's population in this one zone, now called the Yukon time, which is 1 hour earlier than Pacific time standard. So it used to be four time zones. Now it's only two time zones.
Yikes.
Anyway, what was your notes for this? that was a nice side trip.
I had nice beheadings. It was one of my notes. Of the Black Sun.
You didn't even see the beheadings.
But you knew that. I knew they were there.
Even
when they cut
mind.
It was the implication of it was still there. So I'm going to have to look up the DVD version. I like the little touch. I like those like howling warthogs at the beginning of the episode. Those were really cool.
They're Anubas.
And remember when we had sort of the Godfather the Hutt from Don Corleone the Hutt? There, from a distance, he kind of looks like Fonzie the Hutt. He kind of looks like Greaser the Hutt. And my only other note was Embo, which was like, yeah.
Oh, we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
No, he's not in this part?
No.
Oh.
Embo!
Well,
Embo,
I have things to say about, I'll be glad to see Embo in the next part, but at the same time, it fills me with dread because Embo, I'm like, oh, Embo could get killed.
Yeah.
But that's all I really had for the second part. It was pretty much just all sort of action, you know, just sort of them.
There was a weird cut in this episode, so I wasn't quite sure where to cut between act two and three.
Yeah, I've got the commercials, like, you know, and now we're back sort of thing, so it's easier for me to tell now. It's very clear when they go to the commercial on the cuts I have. But then again, you don't get the beheadings, so.
Yeah, like I watch it on Netflix, so I'm watching for like the massive screen wipes, or I'm watching the time. So about like, it was like, okay, I have about 10 minutes left. So rough, in about 10, about two and a half of the, about a minute and a half of that is the credits. So I only really have like 9 minutes left. I'm going to cut it now. So
yeah,
it's
easy for me to tell because there's literally things on the bottom that say like, and now back to Clone Wars, you know?
Yeah. For me, I do like seeing Mustafar in a different context because we've only really seen it used by the Sith and Darth Vader. So I like seeing Mustafar being used in a different concept that doesn't have anything to do with the Sith.
Yeah.
And I just also like the design of the inside of the Black Sun's meeting room. Like when they walk in, it has that big like rainbow banner. And it's just, the room is so dark, but that's like this bright glowing thing on the back wall. And that's the light of the room. And it's a really cool design. And so I like seeing stuff like, and just like little things like them being on Mustafar, they're walking off the ship and there's like little embers flying around them. And it's just, there's a bunch of like little tiny details in that entire scene that I just really like a lot.
Meanwhile, everybody on Mustafar has got lung cancer.
Pretty much, yeah. This is a silly note, but I noticed twice after they take over the Black Suns and they kill the guys. There's the one scene where the camera is like whooshing through the cargo yard and it's showing like Death Watch like loading up ships and stuff. And then later when they're back on the Death Watch base, Savage is talking with Zatan. And on the Death Watch base, Savage and Zatan are talking with each other. So I'm just really hopeful that Savage made a friend because the guy needs a friend. Because he talked with him twice now and they were like, they were both very relaxed, hands on their hips, just chatting. And I was like, Savage has a friend. Yay. He needs a friend. Maul sucks.
He's pretty much got nothing. Yeah.
He's like, oh my god. And like the poor Zatan's just like, this guy doesn't ever shut up about his brother.
He's only had one friend and it was Tippy the Tapeworm.
I know. And even then Tippy tried to kill him.
Yeah. Even then Tippy was a jerk. I
just see Zatan just like nodding and smiling because like if he doesn't, this guy is gonna behead him again. And he's just like, yes, that's great. Yeah, your brother. I think you two are in love. Maybe you should get to see someone about that. Because yeah, you talk about your brother a lot, man. Yeah, good talk. Oh, we're talking still more. Okay. And like meanwhile, Savage is like, and then Asajj, she backstabbed me, and Dooku made me lift heavy things. It was mean. One thing I just like also is that we're like, it's kind of hinted at in Act 1, but like now we're really starting to see that Maul and Vizsla are not getting along. And
nor
I just,
should
I'm,
they.
No, there's no, absolutely no reason they should get along. And so I'm very excited to see the continued power struggle between them.
Yeah, it's an uneasy alliance.
When they were so chummy in Act 1 and now they're like,
That's only politics, I think.
Yeah.
They were happy that they found people that they could use for their own ends, both of them. That was the happiness that they were showing between the two, the chumminess.
To use for their own butt?
We hate
because
the same Maul
doesn't
person.
Have Maul doesn't have a butt, so it's only one butt, so it's Vizsla's butt. Use for his own butt. Get it? Because you said ends. Okay. I have butts on the brain.
Oh, hope. the class.
I know. I always have butts on the brain. Butts on brains. Anyway. My only other final note, just something I want to point out, because we saw more of it this arc. Just keep an eye on Bo-Katan. This arc, just keep an eye on her this entire arc because stuff happens.
Watch that one.
Yeah, just keep an eye on Bo-Katan because she plays an important role. And I just also want to go ahead and point out too, is like we see her again in Rebels, so we should already be watching her. But yeah, just keep an eye on her in this arc. Act 3.
Are we ready to sort of finish off the beginning of this?
Yeah, finish off the beginning of the end of the beginning.
This one doesn't come to a satisfying end.
Yeah,
we got used to it with the last two arcs that were like four little mini stories, you know? This is more like part one.
Yeah. So act 3. Act 3. Maul Shadow Collected heads to Nal Hata and meets with the Hutt clan. The Hutts think that Maul's little group is a joke since they're not offering any money for a trade. Maul says that he won't kill them in exchange for Hutt territory and everything within his borders. And the Hutts think that that's adorable and laughs in Maul's face. And bam! Fucking Imbo jumps out of nowhere with Lats and Sugi and Dengar because bounty hunters are awesome! And too bad that Cad Bane's not in Clone Wars anymore. A fight breaks out and the bounty hunters protect the Hutts. It's pretty one-sided because Maul Savage and to a lesser extent Vizsla are holding them off pretty easily. Vizsla sets fire to the room and gives them a chance to escape. The bounty hunters give chase. It's the Hutt army versus Death Watch with the Super Maul Bros, and as they fight for the air landing platform. Death Watch quickly overwhelms the bounty hunters, who retreat back inside. Maul's team gets back inside, and Sugi, Imbo, and Imbo's dog Merrick jumps them. Vizsla finally kicks their asses when he whips out his Darksaber and the battle starts turning. And the bounty hunters are like, we don't get paid enough for this shit. And they run away. Maul lets them go since they're only paid to be there and they aren't real enemies. So thank goodness, because Imbo is wonderful and he can't die now. Now that they have attention, all the Hutts have escaped except for Mr. French Hat Beret the Hutt. He is now Beret the Hutt. And when he's threatened with death, Beret is super talkative. He tells them that Jabba is on Tatooine and they kill him. The Shadow Collective take a day trip to Tatooine. They easily invade the palace, so Jabba's gotta step up his security system. Maul and Vizsla give Jabba two options, join or die. And Jabba's like, welp, I guess I'm making new friends today. Sorry, Republic. Thanks for saving my son years ago. I'm hanging out with Darth Maul now. And Vizsla's feeling pretty good about everything. They got supplies, an army, and power ready to go. But Maul wants more. Vizsla will get Mandalore, but Maul will rule the Underworld. And Vizsla's like, or you could rule the 200 neutral systems because Mandalore is awesome. And Maul's like, tell you what, bro. This is your first big test. Pick targets to hit on Mandalore to knock out the security. Get your army together. Prove how so-called awesome you guys are. And Vizsla goes to Bo-Katan and he's just like, jeezy shit, jeezy crazy, these Super Maul bros are gonna die. And she's like, that dude force choked me. I'm ready to shank him whenever we're ready. And they head off to get ready for their attack. The end.
Question mark.
The end? Imbo!
Not a lot of notes beyond Imbo. It was great to see him, and he's out a little more outclassed in this, so it was like, I was worried about old Imbo. I'm like, oh, geez.
And we got to see his dog, Merrick.
Yeah. His gore.
Merrick's actually named after a classic character. He is named after... Oh, what is he named after? I have this somewhere. I can't find it now, but he's named after some like classic like King Arthur character.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot what he's named. Like one of them had a dog or something, and it's named after that dog. Anyway. Rock.
I love how the Darksaber looks in action. It's I know it's all computer animated, but they make it look like not a video effect, but like something that happened. You know, when you try to film the Darksaber, it sort of distorts and doesn't come out right. And I like that. It looks a little weird, and it's kind of neat. It looks sort of like
it also has a different sound when it whooshes.
Yeah. And it's like, how do you portray something that's like black, you know, like blackness, darkness, and they sort of do it. It's neat. It has its own look to it. All I really have to say about this one is, man, it's just chock full of beautiful Star Wars visuals. It's just Star Wars action in the classic visual style, and I was eating it up with a spoon.
Just little things too, like Imbo jumping through Jabba's hologram.
Yes.
Yep. It was just like, surprise, bitch! And I was like, oh, Imbo! I totally forgot the bounty hunters were in this episode, so when Imbo jumped out, I was just like, yes! No! Don't die!
And it's almost like throwing something in there, but it makes sense that they're thrown in there, you know? That it makes sense. It's like when they show up, it's like, oh, of course, okay.
Yeah, of course, because we know that Jabba works with bounty hunters. Mm-hmm. We saw it in the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm. And why not these guys? These guys are obviously really good and have been making their way up.
Yeah.
That's about all I've got for that part. Not much, but I really, this is my favorite part of the whole show. So.
Yeah.
As it often works out.
We mentioned it earlier, but I just wanted to note again, following the Kitty arc and the droid arc, it's so good to have Clone Wars back. So good.
So good to be sort of in the main storyline again, you know?
Yeah. So, to talk about Maul for a second, up to this point, we've only really seen Maul be an angry ball of revenge. What I really appreciate about this episode is we're getting to see a new side of Maul. Like, we're getting to see his tactician side, and that he can see a bigger picture. And he's wheeling and he's dealing. And it's nice seeing how smart Maul is when he's... Because he's not just revenge and anger. He's actually really smart.
So he's in another hippie sort of thing, he's chosen life. He's got two paths. And even as a Sith, you know, he can be that ball of hatred just bent on revenge, but that's just going to end in his death eventually. You know, it's just going to sort of be a really dark arc. And now he's thinking, why? I don't owe anybody that arc in my life to fight the Jedi till I die, even if I do hate Obi-Wan Kenobi, because I hate Dooku too. And so he's chosen to, like, live a life, you know, and he's going about living it now. You know, he's like, I've got to have a wider thing than just revenge, you know?
Yeah, and it's just really refreshing because, like, we always say that, like, Rebels was really the first time we got to see Darth Maul's character, and I want to backtrack on that because after this episode, we're seeing so much of Maul's character and who he is, and I really appreciate that from the series because he's not just spider legs, crazy Maul anymore. He's actually like a leader. Yeah. Yeah. He's a leader and he's a tactician and he knows what he's doing. And I really like that. And then I started thinking about like the Sith and I'm like, wow, like what if he actually had survived like episode one and like was still around to this day and was like fighting this war? I mean, he'd probably be a lot more like Dooku. So I think this is a much better path for him. He would just be a stooge.
And he's not going to have him around. Thank God that they're going to put more depth to him because it was getting old, you know. And having him and Savage around, just being basically the same character, doesn't make sense. Now you've got the smaller, smarter, more nuanced brother, and then the big dopey brother as the there's a lot more going on now. You know, it's a lot more interesting.
And Savage is a friend now, so he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Too bad Cad Bane's not in Clone Wars anymore. Can you imagine him in this fight?
I don't understand why they... I mean, I don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I love Hondo, and whenever he shows up, you know, you and I are both just like, our notes are just capital letters. Hondo, you know? But I picture Cad Bane sort of in the same character area as Hondo, and it's like, man, why couldn't they just trade up Cad Bane and Hondo? Because Cad Bane is, I mean, and he's a very useful character, you know? I mean, it makes sense that he could be off doing his own thing for a while or whatever, but, man, why not use him? He's so interesting and so just such a good character visually and character-wise.
I'm wondering if for this, though, because at this time, like, Cad Bane is considered the best bounty hunter in the galaxy. So I could see, like, protecting Hutts and, like, not taking jobs because his one job is just to stand around all Hutt all day protecting these guys in case someone happens to walk in the door. I could see that this is a kind of below him.
Well,
so
the Dengar group got defeated, you know, you'd think maybe one of these guys would be like, hey, let's spend a little extra money and get Cad Bane. I mean, stuff might be beneath Cad Bane, but if you pay him enough, it isn't going to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the only thing, but man, I wonder if it's because we know that Cad Bane's a Jedi killer. Can you imagine him fighting Maul? Like, that would be hell of a fight with him one-on-one. That'd be if he can take on Kenobi and Quinlan Vos, like, I would just love, like, the little throwaway line of, like, man, this is harder than me, like, beating Kenobi, and Maul being like, you beat Kenobi? Hold on, let's talk about things.
Like,
I need to talk to you right now. Let's talk now. And I can see Bane like, you have to pay me more. Pay me to talk to you and then pay me again to work for you. Let's do this. God, like, you could have an entire side group of, like, Bane getting together, like, Imbo and Sugi and Lots and all of them, and just, like, leading the bounty hunter side of, like, fucking Maul's group, and they can be part of the Shadow. Oh god, it'd be so good.
All right, Hope, here's the part that's gonna be, it's been a weekly part, and it probably will be for another couple weeks. The weekly Honeywell nose blow. I'm going for an F sharp tonight.
F sharp, do it.
Disappointing.
That wasn't as good as your one last week.
No, I'm getting better. I'm over my plague, and now I'm just in draining the rest of the mucus out of my body slowly.
I'm in pollen mode. Actually, I'm gonna blow my nose too while we're paused.
You guys must be in full pollen time down
well,
there.
Well, we've been having a weird spring. It's actually like 45 degrees outside. It's been actually quite cold.
Our spring is weird too. Our spring is going. And this is always good. It's not as good for pollen, but it is good for just sort of stuff that aggravates colds and flus. Is it warms up and then it snows again and gets cold again, and then it warms up and then it snows and gets cold again. So we're like just sort of going up and down here.
We've been like that too, but without minus the snow. Like 3 days ago, it was 78, and now it's 45.
Yeah, our snow doesn't last because it's getting warm enough that the ground is warm. So, like, we had one day last, I think it was Friday when I was at work, where, you know, the sun would be out. The wind was outrageous here. The sun would be out, and then there would be an insane snow, you know, just blowing snow outside the windows, and then it would stop, and it would all be gone. And then the sun would come out again, and then hail would come down. We had basically four different kinds of snow in one day.
Oh, man.
In April, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a weird spring.
We don't really have spring in Rochester, and people are griping up here, but it's the same every year. We don't really have spring until sometime in the middle of May, so...
Like, for us, is like, I have a blue car, and by this time, my car should be a very, like, green shade from pollen, and we just haven't had that. Like, it's just been such a weird. I had about 2 days that Bob was green, And then it's been cold and it rained and he got washed off. So
there was a guy in my high school named Bob Green.
This is the time where I shouldn't be able to put my face in my cat's bellies because they're so covered in pollen. But I've been like smothering those cats because I'm just like, yeah, you're not covered in pollen. I made that mistake one time because my cats are indoor-outdoor cats and my cat came in. And I like smothered, it was springtime, and I smothered my face in her side, and I woke up the next day with a sinus infection from all the pollen in her.
Yeah, no, just have we used to have a damp cloth or even a damp, like, old beach towel, and that's what we would get the animals when they came in and just sort of give them a wipe down with that, and you could see the pollen on the towels.
When it's really bad, because I have two gray cats, they're a very fine shade of yellow. Like, you can tell. You're like, oh, you've been outside. Oh, God. And they'll leave, like, little paw prints in the... Because we have a black tile in our kitchen, so they'll leave little paw prints of yellow. It's really cute, but gross. We always have to, like, wipe it up afterwards.
Cute, but deadly.
Yeah. So my next note, Sugi, who is the woman that fights Maul, like hand-to-hand... I just want to point out, fun note, Sugi, Maul, and Savage are actually all the same species. They're all Zabrax. But there are two kinds of Zabrax. There's Zabrax like Sugi, and then there was an offshoot colony that got settled on Dathomir. And their colony landed on Dathomir, and the Night Sisters took over them. And so that's why they're so Maul and Savage are drastically different looking than Sugi. Because they were raised on Dathomir. And just an extra note, the Night Sisters, like Ventress, they are not Zabrax.
So, yeah, they're different. They're just two different breeds.
Yeah. People like Mother Talzin and Ventress, they're actually Dathomirians. And so I think early on in the Night Sisters episode, I called Savage a Dathomirian. That's wrong. He's a Zabrax. So I just thought that was interesting that
he's technically a Dathomirian just by living on Dathomirian, you know, like you're a New Yorker if you live in New York City, but yeah, he's not native.
But I just thought that was cool that like Maul and Sugi were fighting. I'm like, you guys are the same species, but you're like totally different too. So here's a problem with the Sith, because Maul started this season just by wanting revenge on Obi-Wan, and now he has all his power, so he wants to rule everything.
Well, yeah, might as well. Well, who, you know, you might as well aim. If you're a Sith, your arc is sort of like go till you can't go till you get stopped. You know, you're basically gonna go and try and get as much power until somebody else.
Why should he stop until somebody stops him?
Right, right. So he might as well aim for that. And if he never gets to that, he'll, even if he still gets in charge of a planet or something, you know, he's still on his way to that. Yeah, why stop? Because if you're a Sith, you stop and then somebody's still going to come and kill you eventually because you're a Sith. That's how Sith life goes. It doesn't, you know, I don't know if there maybe was ever a Sith probably that died of old age, you know, just sort of like peacefully in the night.
Yeah.
So yeah, why not shoot? If you're going that way, go all the way, you know?
Yeah. My only other note is I do kind of wish that the entire final fight, like with the bounty hunters and everything, it all took place on Tatooine at Jabba's palace, because they could have done the exact same thing, but just had it all in one location and had a much bigger battle. But you had, like, the fight with the bounty hunters, and then they go to Jabba's palace, and it's, like, maybe a minute long. They just literally just shoot their way in, and then they're there. And I didn't get that feeling from the original trilogies that Jabba's palace was so easy just to, like, shoot a couple guys and walk in. I felt like there was, like, much more defense.
No, remember, everybody just sort of walked in and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, but, like, it was also...
Part of it with Jabba is it wasn't like he wasn't afraid to. Jabba had so much power that it's like, why have an, you know, I mean, he had guards and a doorman and stuff like that, but why be too, why look like you're afraid when you have that power? And when somebody comes up and puts a gun in Jabba's face, he's just like, ha ha ha, I like you, you know? So it's probably that, you know, that he's probably got so many cutthroats and stuff around him that it's like, yeah, if you want to come at me, come on in, you know, and we'll feed you to the Rancor at the end of it, you know.
Oh, what if, like, you know, that would have been so cool if the bounty hunters were like, oh, shit, and they, like, free the Rancor and, like, oh, that would have been awesome. And then Jabba's like, don't kill my...
Is it like releasing the Kraken?
It'd be like killing Gore all over again. And then Jabba's like, crap, I have to get a new Rancor now.
Is free the Rancor like a new version of...
Free Willy?
Of release the Kraken?
I like Free Willy better. Like, it just the Rancor just jumps up and Jabba's like, yeah! But yeah, I just kind of wish, like, instead of having two separate battles, because, like, man, because especially since Dave Filoni made such a deal of, like, holy shit, we have Mandalorians invading Jabba's palace. I was like, oh, yeah. And then we get to it, and it's, like, a minute long. And I was like, that was kind of underwhelming. So, but that's all I had for the episode.
Me too. You want me to score it up?
Yep.
All right. I'm my scores are going back up. I gave this one an 8.0. I really liked it. It was maybe it's coming back from Kitty Land or whatever, but I thoroughly enjoyed this one. It was the story of it was good, and the sound design and the visual design and the action were all top notch Star Wars-y. It moved and like Star Wars. I liked it. It just kept moving forward and going, and yeah, I'm happy with this. Happy for this arc. It's going to be a good month this month, Hope.
Oh, it's going to be a great month. I'm so excited.
You actually know what's coming, yeah, but...
It's going to be a great rest of the show.
I mean, basically got the setup for Mandalorian and Sith action at the same time, together and against each other at the same time. It's going to be great. Or at least the potential is very, very high for greatness.
Yeah. Well, for me, after the god-awful droid arc and the kids, it's just so great to get back to, like, gritty, dark Star Wars. And I love seeing how smart Maul is and how he's already clashing with Pre Vizsla, because you just know at some point they're just going to go at it.
Smart and confident.
Yeah.
And dapper.
And he's swaggering. I love it. And I just, the bounty hunters. I freaking love Imbo and Sugi. I was going to give this episode an 8, but I just had to bump it up for the bounty hunters because I totally forgot about them. And just that moment when Imbo just jumps through the hologram, there he is. Oh, it was just so good. So I gave it an 8.5 out of 10.
Ooh.
I've been the one
scoring higher than you lately. So that's, yeah. We're back to our more usual pattern. 8s and 8.5s. I'm glad, actually.
Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on Twitter, iTunes, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Bound for Rescue. Take it away, Cleus.
All right, our first one comes from Paul C. Kelly, and now I've got the Paul C. Kelly voice down. Prego the Doug sounded a lot like Oz from the 1939 Wizard of Oz. Oh, yeah.
I remember this now.
It actually seemed like they were trying to go for that. Drunken Hondo is awesome. Looks like Ahsoka is spreading Anakin's rebellious style of bending the rules to the little ones. Post Order 66 in Rebels period, this is basically the way any Jedi has to act anyway. Oh, yeah. No more wet blankets at that point.
We're wild and crazy guys.
And that's our only, I don't even get to do a Delmore this time.
No, that's our only one.
So now it's candy time, and Hope, we are down to our last two candies.
Yeah, I kind of want to do the big yellow one.
Ritter
Sports.
Ritter Sports Kex and Nuss.
It's from Germany.
Germany, which I assume means cake and nuts.
Well, just in case you're wondering, Chris is a big old baby and he doesn't like American Kit Kats. So our friend Dario Gonzalez, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It, sends us candy from all over the world to review. Je knock temperamental air off. Oh
off
my god! Vegan. Apparently,
order dart off hazen. Yeah, I know. There's very.
I have not taken.
Doesn't it seem like really bossy orders of how to open this? It's like, open it correctly. I don't know what it says in German, but it's almost like... Oh, there we go.
I don't know. D for done.
I figured it out.
German,
you can,
so.
When you open it, this sort of the top sort of peels like a flap, so you can pull pieces off of it and reflap it down, which is good because it's huge.
I got a D for done in Germany.
Okay.
In German, so.
It looks like...
It snaps right apart.
What was that? Yes, mine did too. It's what was that candy that used to have that was basically just Rice Krispies treats with chocolate dumped down? That's what this looks like.
I don't know. This is delicious, and these are huge.
Wow.
These Rice Krispies are huge.
I think they're nuts. Well, they might be the cake part.
Mmm.
Because it looks like
chicken. I can see nuts in there, so I think that is the cake. The Rice Krispies are the cakes, and then there's the nuts.
And I bit into them thinking that they'd be like Rice Krispies. Oh, there's the nuts. You're right. And
yeah, they're in there too. Mm.
But they're like really tough, strong, hard Rice Krispies. You know, they're like.
Like the Germans.
Yes.
Tough,
oh, this is
strong.
Good. The chocolate
tough, strong,
is
a little nutty.
The chocolate is really good on it too.
This is amazing chocolate on this. I cannot eat all that in one sitting, though. Oh, my God.
No, I'm only going to eat this one or two little squares at a time. Oh, it's good. And they look like they're almost like Cocoa Puffs. Well, they're round Rice Krispies, but they're almost like Cocoa Puffs. They're brown. They're the same color as Cocoa Puffs, so they might be chocolate flavored.
Thank you, Dario.
Yeah. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell if they're chocolate flavored because everything all around them is chocolate, so...
Oh, Dario, my God. Thank you so much. We love you.
Ritter Sports Keks and Nuss. And then we've got one more, and then we will have some all-new candy. I got my candy shipment.
So I should be getting mine. I'll probably get it tomorrow, to be honest.
That's usually the pattern. But, boy, we got some... my mouth is full. We got some good ones coming up.
Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at tutufreaks.com, and I'd just like to say to everybody who has used our Amazon link to shop on Amazon, I'd like to thank you because we just renewed our rent at our hosting site and renewed our rent on our name on tutufreaks.com, and that was entirely paid for by you guys going to Amazon, so thank you. There's always that time of year where I'm like, do we have enough to get through? Because it's on my PayPal account, and it pays automatically every year, so I don't have to do anything. So it's like, I always have to creep over to the PayPal account and go like, all right, definitely do not want our domain name.
We don't do this very often. Why don't you explain how the Amazon link works in case this is like somebody's first episode listening to us?
Well, the Amazon link is just basically... If you click on it, it takes you to Amazon, just like if you went on your browser and went to Amazon. But it logs in that you went to it through our website. So whatever you buy there while you're there, for most stuff, there's some stuff, you know, but for your average Amazon purchase, if you make it after going through that link, they give us a little bounty on it. And it doesn't affect the price of what you're doing. And, it helps us keep going. So yeah, another year of Tutu Freaks because of you guys. And Amazon.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And Tutu Freaks, that's our main official website, but a lot of action occurs on Facebook, on the Tutu Freaks group in Facebook, and in the Tutu Freaks Cantina group in Facebook, which is sort of the more like hang out and talk about nerd stuff, and the main Tutu Freaks is to go and find out what shows are coming out and to talk about them. And there's also a Twitter site, a Tutu Freaks Twitter run by Gene, the podcasting machine.
Can you hear that?
Yay! Hear that? It's cute. It sounds very far away. It kind of sounds like a very sad car horn.
Yes, yes. I what I'll probably do is I will now that I have that, I will I'll probably record it and I'll have it as a drop in. But anyway, where can they find
you? That was good timing. That was very good timing. I was about to go from vamping to vampire, so that was good timing. You can find me at Jacob and Jedi on our Twitter account. You can also find me, that is my main Twitter account, where I haven't watched the new episode of Timeless this week. Oh my god! I usually live tweet Timeless, and I just realized I didn't watch the episode on Sunday.
Lazy.
I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Lazy.
Well, there was a reason. Like, my dad loves wrestling, and it was WrestleMania, and he has never watched a pay-per-view event before. So, like, we gave him the big TV, we paid for his pay-per-view event, because he was so excited, so it was actually a very special thing for my dad. So, you know, that. And by the time it ended, it was like midnight, and I was like, I'm going to bed.
Well, that's acceptable.
Yeah, I'll probably watch Timeless tomorrow when I get home from work. You can also find me at whatthefangirl.com. I'm the news writer, but we're kind of taking a little hiatus a little bit because we're trying to like revamp the site, and I haven't had a chance to talk to my editors to see where we want to take it. And I'm also writing a Thrawn fan fiction. Yay! It's on AO3, which is Archive of Our Own, and it's called Forces of Gravity. My name on there is Chaos Lydia. And you should check it out. And if you like it, leave me like a kudos or a comment. Because when you leave kudos and comments, it helps people find the story because it puts it higher in the rankings.
How many pages are you up to now?
I have 7 chapters. I'm on 48,000 words. I've almost completely completed my NaNoWriMo in 9 days. I'm currently working on the new chapter right now. So I'm having fun. I just finished the sex scene last week, so I did the sex scene. So yeah, I'm having a lot of fun writing that, and my best friend is now my official beta reader for it, so she's very excited about that too.
Excellent.
Yeah, she's beta reading it for me, and so she's been really helping me, and that's exciting as well. So, you know, when I mentioned earlier it's better to be lucky than good any day when I was talking about Death Watch finding Maul, I mean that in life too, because when I met Megan when we were 14, I did not realize she would grow up to be a professional editor, which is great for a writer like me because I can't afford her. And she's just like, I'm your best friend. I'll read this for free. And I'm like, thanks. That's great.
I'm lucky too. I have a friend that became an editor. So that's always nice to know. I need more friends that became lawyers and cops. So,
yeah. My brother-in-law's brother is a cop, so when I got my ticket, he was the first person I called, and I was like, what do I do? And he's like, you're fine.
Does he like Star Wars and Star Trek? You should.
No, it was totally my fault, and I explained it to him, and he was like, just pay for it. And I was like, okay. Because it was totally my fault. But he actually gave me...
Well, that's good. He's a good cop, then.
Well, he actually gave me a tip because I was just going to pay it online. And he was like, don't pay for it online. Because when you pay for it online, it's like hundreds of dollars. If you take it to the place and drive there yourself, it's like $50. And I was like, oh, that's so much better.
And
Thank you for telling me that.
I don't know what it's like in Georgia, but like, I think generally there's also the chance that like maybe that cop's sick that day or he can't make it into court and they will boot it out sometimes if nobody's there.
No, I was not going to fight it. I was like,
fight it. You just sit there and they go, oh, this one's dismissed. The officer didn't show up because the officer's got to be there. So sometimes the officer doesn't show up and you luck out, you know. I've known quite a few people who did that. They've gone to pay and then they were just like, well, it didn't happen.
No, it was actually my fault. But yeah, well, we're back to gritty Star Wars more next week.
Yes.
I'm so excited. What happens next week? I'm trying to remember. Let's see.
We're almost 20 episodes away from episode 100. It doesn't seem that long ago, does it?
No, it doesn't. Imminence. Oh! Ooh.
good one next? Is that what you're saying?
That's next week. Oh.
Okay, I'm expecting a lot of notes next week, it sounds like. It sounds like Hope's going to have feelings next week. It sounds like Hope's already started having feelings.
No, wait. It's the episode after that. Just kidding. It's the episode after that, isn't it? Okay. Hold on.
How are your jets, then?
Hold on. Okay. Is it the episode after that? I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to read, like, scan the thing. Find this person's name. Okay, so it's not next week. Okay, no, it's not next week. Okay, we're good. I'm not gonna have feelings next week, guys. Okay,
well, maybe you'll have feelings next week. It looks like the week after you're gonna have some real feelings, though.
I'm having real feelings. I'm not ready for it.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
The tears. That rings. Wait a minute. I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly, I'm nervous. Let me see. Oh, Alexander Dumbass. Oh, Henry Dumbass!